Reading this morning, Job chapter 1, Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, reading from verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was a perfect and upright one that feared God and escheweth evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth or shunneth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servant of the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven, and have burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou moved me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, skin for skin, yea, all that a man have will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And Job took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And in Ephesians 6 and 12 is a verse which reads, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth of itself against the knowledge of God. And in these verses we see that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are all involved in a spiritual war. Amen. In the book The Art of War by Sun Tzu, which is studied by military men all over the world, he states that if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but know not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. And to know the enemy, we begin in Genesis 1, verse 26, which reads, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In these verses we see that God created man in his own image, male and female, and that God gave them dominion over the whole earth. Then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. In these verses we see that God gives man a rule to obey, that is, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then in chapter 3, verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them coverings. And in these verses we see that Adam and Eve had disobeyed God in the only rule which he had given them. Then in verse 13, where the Lord God asks the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman replies, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And in these verses we see that the devil, in the guise of the serpent, deceived Eve, and they lost their dominion of the earth to the devil, as the Lord states in John 12 and 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince or ruler of this world will be cast out because of his sin of disobedience by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam lost his dominion of the world and Satan received it by deception. And Ephesians 2 and 2 states that, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And Romans 5 and 12 states that, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And what is the gift of righteousness but the very gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? And 2 Timothy 2 and 12 states that, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Dominion of this world will be restored to men through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that we shall reign with him. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 states that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit or life-giving spirit. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Job chapters 1 and 2, the curtain is pulled back, as it were, in heaven, and Scripture gives us a glimpse of what takes place in the spiritual realm. And the angels come before God to give an account of their activities, and Satan comes amongst them. And through the Lord God questioning Satan, it is revealed that Satan's desire and focus is upon Job. When the Lord commands Job by saying that there is none like him, when the Lord commands Job to Satan by saying that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or shunneth evil. Satan replies, doth Job fear God for nothing? And hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan's contention is that Job fears God because the Lord has made Job very rich and has put a hedge of protection around Job, preventing Satan from harming Job. But if the Lord would remove the hedge, then Satan could get at Job and tempt him to curse God. Again, there was a day when the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord again commends Job to Satan by saying, hast thou considered my servant Job, and that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And this is after the Sabaeans had stolen Job's oxen and had slain his servant with the edge of the sword. The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up Job's sheep and servants, consuming the children, stole Job's camels and slew Job's servants. Then Job's sons and daughters were killed by a great wind from the wilderness, which smote four corners of the eldest son's house, which fell on them and killed them. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then Satan contends that Job fears God because that the Lord has blessed Job with good health. And if the Lord would put forth thine hand and touch Job's bone and his flesh, then Job would curse God to thy face. Then the Lord said unto Job, behold, Job is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. And Job took a fragment of a broken pot to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? Job passes Satan's test and verifies the Lord God's commendation of Job to Satan, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And in this account of Satan's testing of Job, we can see Job as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, to be tempted or tested of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And this, in Matthew chapter 3 and 13 and 4 and 11, God testifies of Jesus, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Moody Bible Commentary states that with his baptism, the first of two prerequisites for Jesus beginning his ministry was over. The second involved his testing. At this baptism, God identified Jesus as his Son. In the first two temptations, the devil attacks him on precisely his defined sonship. If thou be the Son of God, and if thou be the Son of God. The first temptation may have been designed to influence Jesus to act independently of God by using his own divine powers to alleviate his hunger. But Jesus responded by citing Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which reads, And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Which is, in context of God humbling Israel, evaluating the people's obedience, determining if they would depend on him, disciplining them as a father disciplines a son. And where Israel failed, Jesus was faithful. In the second temptation, the devil cited scripture about God's promises to protect his people. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And either physically or in a vision, Jesus was taken to the temple, probably because the temple symbolized God's intense care for his people. Psalm 18:6, which reads, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came up before him, even into his ears. The very point of this temptation, and Jesus responded with another reference to Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. While God promises to protect his children, they must not coerce him to do so, which would be tantamount to turning him into their slave. The third temptation may also have been a visionary experience. What the devil offered Jesus, God the Father had already promised him, namely world dominion. Psalm 2, verse 7 and 8, which reads, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen or the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And Daniel 7 and 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. In response to this temptation by the devil, Jesus cited Deuteronomy 6:13, which reads, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name, which is a verse found in the context of warnings about idolatry on the eve of the Hebrews entering into the Holy Land. Failure to worship God alone would result in decisive judgment. Deuteronomy 6:14-15, which reads, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Had Jesus succumbed to the temptation to worship the devil, he would have faced God's wrath and forfeited his saving role. And unlike Israel in the wilderness, Jesus did not fail when he was tested. When the devil left him, angels came to minister to serve him, possibly indicating that they brought food, since a 40-day fast would leave him precariously weak. There are practical lessons for believers today suggested by this episode. First, Jesus drew upon scripture to resist the attacks of the devil. And James states in 4 and 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the word flee is a verb, an action word, which suggests haste and speed. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. How can believers today hope to fare very well against Satan if they have little knowledge of the words of God? And Ephesians 6 and 17 states, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Second, the devil quoted scripture, but he did so out of context, as Psalm 91 and verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. These verses are about the Lord's protection for his children in the vicissitudes of life, and not in the presumptuous and impetuous actions chosen in foolishness. God's people must not only be able to quote scripture, but will need to know what it means in its context. Third, eventually God met all of Jesus' needs, and as his children wait humbly for him to act, he will never let them down. Isaiah 14 and verse 12 states that, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets or timbrels and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hadst corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And in these verses we see the origin of the devil, Satan. He was created Lucifer, son of the morning, the anointed cherub that covereth, the most beautiful creature in all of God's creation. And because of his brightness, Lucifer was lifted up by his own pride and sinned against God when he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And Jeremiah 49:16 states that the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in Peter 1:5-8 states that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And Revelations 12:10, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In these verses we see the motive and the methods of the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A lion roars to say that he owns this territory and to frighten all who are in his territory. The lion roars to say that he owns this territory and to frighten all who are in his territory. Satan the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light and can appear as a good and trustworthy person. As the accuser of the brethren, Satan has access to heaven, and as we have read in Revelation 12 and 10 and in Job chapters 1 and 2, and then also in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, we read, and the Lord speaking, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." And the Apostle John encourages us in 1 John 2 and 1, which states that, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." Then we have seen that Satan is the great deceiver, as he has deceived the whole world, aided by his angels. But thankfully, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are encouraged by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Revelation 19 and 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their enemies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." And Revelation 20 and verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In Revelation 20, we see the demise of Satan and his final abode. And the angel binds him with a great chain in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And as we have seen, Satan, as the accuser of the brethren, with access to heaven day and night, and walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and as the deceiver of the whole world, and in all his activity, we see that Satan is as a restless being, incapable of being at rest or at peace. So what shall it be like for him when he will be chained in the bottomless pit, where he will be continually straining at the great chain, straining at the leash to be free. And during his 1,000 years of confinement in the bottomless pit, with all that confinement, he does not, in all that time of confinement, he does not reflect on his actions which have caused him to be there. Because after the 1,000 years, when he is released, he returns to his old ways of deceiving the nations once again, resulting with him and all those he deceives being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be tormented day and night for all eternity. Then in Revelation 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In these verses, we see that our good works cannot save us, and will end with those trusting in them, their good works to save them, being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the devil and the beast and the false prophet are, along with all unbelievers. Then for us to be found written in the book of life, we just have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, and he will, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you're listening to this message and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, why not just now ask him to save you, and he will. And remember that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, because we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow, because for you, tomorrow may never come. Then, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you close a prayer, then? Please.
Father, we give you thanks and praise you once again for what we've heard this morning. We thank you for your greatness, Father. We thank you, Father, you're the mighty God of the Most High. And we've seen, Father, that you're in control of everything. Even as the sons of God came before you, and Satan could come, and Satan could do nothing. And we find, Father, that he was a liar from the beginning. Because you said he was going up and down and through and fro the earth. But he was actually in Job's back garden.
Yes.
And Father, he was seeking him out, Father. As our God, when he said, it's like a roaring lion trying to devour all in his path. And we thank you for your faithfulness, Father, for your greatness and your might. You could tell him, Lord, don't touch him. And Father, we know the same as with thy people. He cannot touch us unless you allow it. And we thank you and we praise you, Father, for what we've heard this morning. We thank you for your Son, begotten of thee, as our brother has already mentioned. That, Lord, it's through Calvary, he defeated him. He has no hope now. He's a defeated foe. Because our Saviour has risen again from the dead. And that one day he'll raise us and we'll be like him and we'll be rather with him. What a God you are. What a Saviour we have, Father. And we thank you in the Saviour's name. We thank you for your word, Father, and for the help you have given Sam, Father. We thank you, Father, the Scripture tells us thy word is sweet to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We give you thanks, Father, for the day this morning. We thank you, Father, for all that went forth, Father.
Yes.
And for the help you gave our brother this morning. We give you thanks. We pray, Father, you take us from this place, take us to our home with safety, and that nothing befalls our way. And we ask you, Father, to go before those that are laid aside, Father, and commit them to you. And remember how we saw tomorrow, Lord, as you go through this operation. We pray we commit them to you in the Saviour's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.